Somebody shout, us. Us, amen, was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Somebody shout them. But the word preached, come on, did not profit them. Why? Because it was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Amen. So we have to mix the word that we hear with faith. The NIV version says, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them. Why? Because they did not share the faith or have the same faith of those who listened and obeyed. Amen?
Look at this before you go to 1 Peter. Faith is an active ingredient that solidifies things in your life. If you ever did work with concrete or brick masonry, you can have all the sand and the water that you want and mix it together, but it won't make nothing stick.
Amen.
But when you put that concrete mix in there and you put that concrete in and you mix that with the sand and the water, you develop it to a consistency where you can put it between two objects that would normally not stick together. And you put that between there, you can put those rocks together and you can begin to stack them as high as you want, because that concrete or that cement solidifies or gels or holds two objects that normally wouldn't even be attracted to each other, and it causes them to become stronger. It develops a bond. So this mixing the word with faith. Faith is that active ingredient that solidifies whatever it is, because you're not only mixing the word with faith, but you're taking the word and that problem, and you're putting faith in the middle of them, and faith is the active ingredient that keeps the problem,
wow,
amen, in its place, in the word in its place, wow. And if you don't mix the faith in between that thing, the word and the problem is on the same level, yeah. And you can't get one to override the other because you have not mixed anything or you have not put separation between them. And so look at somebody and say, you got to understand how faith works.
You have to understand how faith works.
First Peter.
Amen. Now let's reference Peter. First Peter 1, we're going to start at verse 5. It says, who through faith are shielded. Come on, we value that which protects us. Come on, the faith shields us by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, somebody shout, it's just a little while, that you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. How many of us going through something right now? Come on. We all have an active faith project. Never think that you grow too big or get beyond. Come on. Having to embrace a faith project. Amen. Only time we're going to arrive is when they push us down, yeah, in the casket to the front of the church. We will have arrived then. All of our faith projects will have ended. Amen. So it says we're going through for a little while. But verse 7 says, these have come that the proven genuineness of your faith, greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So even though our faith is tried and we go through the fire just as gold does, gold can be here today and gone tomorrow. Someone can steal it and you can lose it. Come on. But we value gold more than we value our faith, which is permanent. Come on. It's being developed. Once faith is developed, it's not going to go anywhere. It's only going to perfect on the inside of us and what? Begin to cover and shield us from the darts that the enemy are going to continue to throw throughout our life. Amen. How many of you feel darts being thrown now?
All right.
Come on, how many of you feel a little bit of pressure in a certain arena of your life, be it health, be it finances, be it marriage, be it the children, come on, be it the job, be it the business, come on, business revenue, come on, just, you know, it's not what it used to be, you begin to feel the pressure, but the bills are still there and have to be paid. Come on. And so it's not that the fire and the pressure is not going to be applied, but it's applied so that it will what? Develop that faith shield over us and cover us. That's genuine faith, more valuable than gold. Amen.
Amen. Look at another scripture. I don't think we have it in the notes, but look at 1 Peter 1, 4 through 7.
Amen.
1 Peter 1, 4 through 7. Somebody say amen when you get there. Y'all with us? Look at 1 Peter 1, 4 through 7. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible, and undefiled.
Yes.
And that fadeth not away. Look yes. at somebody say, I am an inheritor.
I'm an inheritor.
Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. Look at how it's kept through faith.
Through faith.
Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now, look at this, you're going to rejoice, but look, though now for a season, look at somebody say, just a season in your
just
life.
Just a season.
Some of us make lifelong decisions off of seasons. We make lifelong decisions off of seasons. You realize seasons change. Just in a few days, September the 21st, we're going to be leaving summer and going into the fall.
Yes.
Seasons
yes.
change, change, amen. In that new season, things turn around in your life. Right. The leaves that used to be a canopy are now going to fall off the trees.
Right.
They're going to fade, amen, and you're going to see things change. Look at somebody and tell them again, it's just a season.
It's just a season.
We really haven't learned how to handle seasons. And we make lifelong decisions mm-hmm. off of seasonal circumstances in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this thing. It says, a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire,
mm-hmm.
look at how it's going to be found. It don't feel good while you're being tried.
Mm-mm.
It don't feel good. Be
not
honest
all.
With me in here
not
this morning.
All.
How many, we supposed to walk through it laughing, but we don't always laugh. Look at somebody and say, every once in a while you cry with some
every
stuff you go through.
Every once in a while you
every
cry.
Once in a while you have to shed a tear with
yes.
some stuff you go through.
Yes.
Amen. But you can't stay in a crying
yes.
season. You
yes.
can't stay in a crying moment, amen. You got to cry, but then after a while, you got to get up and dry your eyes and say, hold on, I know how this thing going to end.
Okay.
I know how this thing is going to come out.
Amen.
Weeping may endure for a night.
Yes.
You got to understand, a night, just for a night. But if you're still crying tomorrow
yes.
night.
Yes, and the next night. And the next night.
Look at this thing. Being much more precious than of gold. Though it be tried with fire. Your faith got to be tried with fire. You can't
yes,
try faith with just good stuff.
Mm-mm.
Man, God just keep blessing me. Every time I turn around, I got another blessing coming my way. I give God all the praise. Everybody can stand up in church on that testimony.
Lord.
But can you get up in front of them and say, man, God got me in hell. And I'm going through this thing. And I'm looking to my left and can't find him. I'm looking to my right. I can't find him. I'm looking behind me. I don't see him. I'm looking in front of me and he's not there. But the word says
what
he would never leave me nor forsake me. God, where
yes.
are you?
Yes.
Am I talking
yes.
to anybody like that this morning?
Yes.
Your trials will make God disappear on you.
Come on.
But you got to have faith to say he told me
yes.
that he wouldn't leave me. And so God, even though I don't see you.
Yes, sir. Yes,
I
sir.
Know you're here somewhere.
By faith. By faith.
I know you're in the room with me. I know you're in this place with me. And so, God, even though I
yes.
don't know how I'm coming out of this,
yes.
because I know you're in it with me,
yes.
if I don't come out.
Yes.
Huh. You got to.
Only believe.
Don't like that testimony.
Only believe.
He said, look at this. Though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Praise, honor, and glory
yes.
at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know this thing we're talking about by faith. Last week we talked about the work of faith,
mm-hmm.
and then we talked about the worth
of faith.
Uh-huh. That word worth is a word that we use when we talk about worship. Worship talks about the worthship or the worthship
mm-hmm.
of the value of who Christ is or the value of who God is. And so when we
yes.
worship him, we're not asking him for anything, but we're telling him how much he's worth to us. Amen.
Amen.
We're ascribing value to
yes.
him at that moment. We're
yes.
telling him who he is. Amen.
Yes.
And we're lifting up that standard. And so when we deal with faith and talk about the worth of faith, we have to begin to look at it from the terms of the measure. How much faith do you really have?
Mm-hmm.
That's a question that you got to answer one day in life.
Mm-hmm.
How much faith do you really have? And you really don't know until you hit the right test.
That's right, the right
you
test.
See, some things you have confidence in now, you
yes.
got more faith than anybody, and you can testify to somebody else in that arena.
Yes.
But there are some things you haven't
yes.
been tested in yet.
Yes, yes.
and you don't know how much faith. Somebody think they got all faith until they run into the right trial.
Right.
And then they realize, man, I ain't got no faith
in that
area.
No faith.
I'm bankrupt on that side.
No faith.
You see, you don't get to this place of being defined in the worth of faith. We talk about the measure of faith.
Yes.
We talk about the value. The value is how much of something do you have?
Yes.
And how much is it worth? You got to see this. There's a text in Luke, Pastor Vicky, that we see in closing today. In Luke 18, Jesus says something that concerns me about faith. Mm-hmm. He asked a question that concerns me about faith. He says, when I return, will I find faith in the earth realm?
In the earth.
That tells me he's going to have to look for it, even from those of us that name his name. It tells me that we may not have faith, and we may have been taught a bill of good about what faith is, and we may be misrepresenting faith, because if he's coming back, and the question he asks is, will I find faith in the earth realm? All of us in here are faith-filled people, but he asked the question, will I find faith, not in living waters, but in the whole earth? Will I find faith? That tells me faith is of a greater element and dimension than what we think it is. Yes. And many of us may not have what we think we got.
Come on.
Many of us may not have what we think we got, because he's got to come back and look for it.
Yes.
And so last week you closed, I think, on Job and just talking about Job and his trials and the ordeals and the things that he had to go through. And I think we left on Job 23.
We did, in the midst of all that Job lost. Come on. Even that wife closest to him said, you still yet holding on? But how many of you know that James 1 says that the testing of our faith produces perseverance? Remember that? The testing of our faith is to produce perseverance. Write down perseverance. It's defined as continued effort. Come on. That's the I'm not going to give up no matter what. Perseverance. What is faith developing? A continued effort to do or achieve something. What is that thing? The thing that God told you you would accomplish. Come on, catch it in the spirit realm. What is that thing? Whatever it is that God told you would do, whoever it is that God told you would be, wherever it might be that God told you gonna go. Come on, perseverance is continued effort to push at it and continue at it despite the difficulties, the failures, or the opposition that may come your way. That's perseverance, amen? So we God is tired of believers, come on, because doubt actually cancels out faith. Come on, so if God tells us something and we believe today, but then we doubt tomorrow, we really don't have faith.
Huh.
Because doubt and faith can't stay in the same person or the same body. So that's why God is wondering, when I return, will I find somebody in the earth realm that's not doubting what I said they would do? Who's not doubting who I said you're going to be? Who's not going to doubt the word that I have given you concerning your healing, concerning your deliverance, concerning your household salvation? Can I find somebody who's not going to be doubting my word? And so the wife tells Job, you still holding on? Why don't you just curse God and die? And he says in that particular scripture, he says, Job was wise enough to know, and he said it out of his mouth, once he has finished trying me, I shall come forth as pure gold.
There's that value.
Come on. I'm not going to be in what I'm not going to look like who I look like all the time. When he's finished trying me, I'm going to shine and come forth as pure gold. But we got to go through the purification and the fire process.
You understand, when they go mining for gold, it's not like digging a hole for a foundation for a house. You understand, there's work that goes into digging and looking for gold, but the value of the gold when found, it overrides the labor that you have to go through to get to it. Amen? And just like gold, faith is found in certain veins.
Yes.
You got to be able to dig deep enough to find this thing. Faith ain't just laying on the ground in front of you.
Yes.
You ain't going to just walk out this building and pick up some faith and say, I got it.
Yes.
It don't come to you like that. You got to dig deep to find the faith that you're looking for. Amen. But here's the dilemma. Most of us don't like work.
And so we like to go and find James and say, we talk about faith don't require works. I guarantee you, if you don't work, you ain't got no faith.
Right. They go hand
Let me go
hand.
Ahead and clean that scripture up to you. James said, faith without works is dead.
Yes.
If you got faith and you ain't had to do no work for it, it's already dead.
Yes.
You messing with somebody else's faith. And so you can talk about Smith Wigglesworth all day,
yes,
but until you get his faith that you can lay hand on the dead and they get up.
Yes.
Smith Wigglesworth is just talking about somebody else.
Yes.
But let me bring it closer.
Yes.
You can talk about Jesus all day, but until you begin to operate like Jesus,
work.
Until you begin to do what Jesus did,
yes,
all Jesus is a good story in the Bible.
Yes.
It's no different than reading Little Red Riding Hood to your son and your daughter.
Come on. Have to have the work.
And most of us got a Little Red Riding Hood religion. And we're walking around telling stories and fairy tales and quoting them as parables, but don't believe nothing we say.
Yep.
Don't believe a word that we say. And how do you know it? Because how you handle your situation.
Yes, yes, yes.
On the cross, Jesus had peace.
Yes.
On the cross, knowing that he's about to go back,
yes,
to heaven, he looks with his hands, nails in them.
Yes.
Piercings in his side, not earrings, but piercings. He stands there and have a conversation with two men, one on his left and right.
Yes.
And he says to him, when you get into glory, remember me.
Remember me.
You got to understand, he knew where he was going.
Yes.
If you know where you're going, you ought to act like it today.
Come on, Jesus.
You ought to act like it before you get there.
Yes.
Most of us never get there because we don't know where we're going. Another fairy tale. We got that Winnie the Pooh syndrome. How will I know it, Christopher?
Mm-hmm.
I went somewhere. I went too far on you.
No.
All right, let me come back. Let me come back. Let me come back. Let me come back. They got that Winnie the Pooh syndrome. We're looking for something,
That's
but we don't know what we're looking
what
for.
What we're looking for.
And we won't know what it is until we find it. But if you don't know what you're looking for, you'll never find,
yes,
it. And so many,
yes,
of us are walking in religious circles.
Yes.
Week after week after week after week after week,
yes,
coming to the same place looking for something but can't define what it is that you're really looking for.
Wow.
Look at somebody and ask them, what are you looking for?
What are you looking for? Baby, a lot of times we're looking with our eyes open. And that's not where revelation, come on, comes from.
What you're looking
come
for?
Come on, revelation comes when you close your eyes and it's dark. And the revelation of God's word comes into that dark arena and shines light. Come on, but it's not natural light. It just don't make sense. It's not natural light that he shines. He shines the light of his revelation. And in the midst of your eyes closed, when there's a dark arena in your mind, God shines a light down and shows us spirit to spirit where it is he desires us to go, what it is he desires us to do. Come on. And so because social media and so many other things, I'm not going to mess with just social media, but we keep our eyes open too long. Sometimes we need to find that place of rest and just close our eyes and stop seeing what the world is showing us about charity and start seeing what God is showing us. Stop hearing what the world is telling us, Minister TJ and Marty, but start hearing what God is speaking to us. Spirit to spirit is how he interacts. Somebody just close your eyes and just see. Come on, through the revelation of God's word. You know the word because it's already in your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Begin to speak into your dark arena now. The word of God that's already on the inside of you. And that is what God is showing you that you're going to manifest in your life. And now that you see it, you can put your hands together and celebrate by faith. It's not going to happen. It's already happened. I'm not going to walk into it. I'm already in it.
Already. It's a done deal. It's already done. You see, we asked the question, what are you looking for? Every last one of us came here this morning to have an encounter with Christ.
Yes.
But here's the real question. How many of you have seen him since you've been in the room? How many of you have seen Christ since you've been in this room? How many of you have seen what you're looking for? Or how many of you are content to walk back out the doors in about another 35 minutes or so and didn't get what you came and what you were looking for? Week after week, you come to see Christ, but you walk out and you never saw him. You saw another man, and many of us have replaced the man for Christ.
Yes.
The man has become the image of Christ. Come on, come on, come on. Talk to me in here. Have you seen him since you've been in this room? Lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory, he shall come in. Watch him walk through these doors.
Yes,
watch him walk through these doors. Lift up your head and see him this morning.
Yes.
You got to see him with your spirit. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You got to see him. If you don't see him, you won't respond to him. And many of us have never seen Christ.
Because we only can have an encounter with Christ through faith.
Faith.
Faith in believing that he is, come on, the Son of God. Huh. Who sits on the right hand of the throne. Come on. With all, not some, not
all
part
power,
but all power is in his hand. And when he reaches down and touches us, he then what? Equips us and releases that same power that he has in his name. Come on. We now possess it in the earth realm. Amen. But you got to believe. Do you believe you have power this morning?
Lift up your hands.
Hallelujah.
Lift up your hands. Father, we pray that you open their eyes.
Ooh, power.
That they
God.
Might see, even as we see this morning, this thing.
Power.
Open their eyes, God, that which is natural will not be that which is visible,
Jesus.
But that which is supernatural. God, open their eyes that they can see Michael and Gabriel.
Jesus.
Open their eyes, God, that they can see your angels ascending and descending, Jesus. Even in this service right now. Open their eyes, oh God, that they can see Jesus. The archangels, God, doing warfare and covering the relationships. Open their eyes right now, oh God. Open my eyes that I can see the vision even more clearly that you have for this house. Open our eyes collectively, God, that by faith, oh God, we will no longer have earthly encounters in your house, but we will have spiritual manifestations. Let us see into the kingdom. Open the heavens, oh God, not to pour out a blessing, but that we can see in and rejoice in the earth, even as we will when we get to heaven. Open our eyes. Open our eyes, oh God, and let us see you in your splendor. Let us see you in your royalty. Let us see you in your magnificence. Let us see you in all your power. Open us up, oh God, that we won't just have church, but God, that we would have you in the midst of this service with us. Open us up that we can see the value, that we can see the value of our faith now in this service. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And amen. Let's run through this. Let's run through this.
Amen. We're going to look at some biblical examples of the value of faith at this time. Amen.
When we talk about the value of faith, you're going to read these at home. We're going to give them to you because we want to deal with the object of faith. Whatever you put your, whatever is the object of your faith determines the value of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to give you those objects. But let's talk about the value of faith. I told you in Luke 18, he says, "Will I find faith in the earth realm when I return?" But then write down this scripture, Romans 12:3. Romans 12:3 says, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Mm-hmm. That's like playing spades. All four of us get the same number of cards. We all get 13, but all of those cards don't have the same value.
Yes.
And so you bid your books based on the value that you see in your cards. Amen. Some people got two and a possible faith. Some people ain't got no faith. I can't get you nothing, partner. Some people are overloaded with faith. I can get you 7, baby. You want to run a Boston? You
want to
run a yard? Some of you been dealt faith, but you ain't playing right with your partner.
Come on.
You want to get all the books by yourself. Amen. But even if your partner got a weak hand and you set him or her upright, they can still get a book or two that they didn't even see. Amen.
Come on.
Deal with faith.
Yes.
God has dealt to every man
a measure of faith.
Amen.
We underbid.
Sometimes
we underestimate. Come on.
Some of us sandbagging.
Yeah. We underestimate.
Oh,
man, why can't you believe? another faith. Hallelujah.
You understand? You can win a book with a three of heart if all the other hearts are off the table.
Come on.
You understand?
Come
what
on.
You devalue has value when somebody else don't have
when
it.
They out.
You got to work this thing. You got to work what you got. Amen. So somebody said he's dealt us the measure of faith.
He's dealt
amen.
Each of
look
us
some,
a
look
measure
at somebody
of faith.
Say, how much you got?
How much you got?
Look at somebody and ask him real quick. How many you got?
You got three and a possible? Tell him, well, I got six. Let's run it. Let's run it. Let's work the word. Let's carry it out. Let's manifest it. Let's prophesy it. Come on. Let's declare it. Rebecca, whatever faith you ain't got, I got your back on the faith that's been dealt to me. Hallelujah.
And if you're scared, get in my back pocket.
Come on.
Because we're going to run this thing. Hey, let's run past that. Mark 4:40. Mark 4:40. Write it down. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, let us go to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
On the way to the other side, you better bet a storm is going to come. And so while the storm comes, you find Jesus laying asleep in the hinder part of the ship on a
mm-hmm.
pillow. And his disciples wake him up and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he wakes up and he says, shh, to the wind. Look at that problem you got
That's
in front
good.
Of you and just say, shh, shh. Go ahead. You got to do this. You got to do shh. You got to tell that thing to be quiet.
Be quiet.
You got to speak to that storm first. He spoke to the wind, and then he told the waves to peace, be still.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says to the disciples in Mark 4:40, how is it that you have no faith? How come you want Jesus to do everything for you when you can do the same
Woo!
Thing because you got him with you? And so now you keep waking Jesus up.
Come on, leave
Jesus said, man,
alone.
Can I ever get any sleep?
Let me rest.
Can I get any rest? You waking me up because you up.
No faith. With no faith. You up with no faith.
Baby, I'm going to skip the next one. Go on the way you are. You waking me up because you ain't got no faith. So God, Jesus, I need you. I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Woo!
Lord, you done got me up. No, you got me up out my bed.
Come on.
If you do what you're supposed to do
Come
down
on,
there,
now.
I can rest up here.
Come
my
on.
Work is done.
Come
it's
on.
Finished.
Come on.
Woo,
I like that, baby. Woo. It didn't say he was standing and working on the right hand of the throne.
Jesus
it said other he was sitting. Come on. He resting. Oh, I like that.
We're trying to make him work again. He said, no, you work.
Woo. You want me to jump to this one?
Go ahead. Well, we got 7 minutes and 14 seconds to get up out of this.
Woo.
Let's go with it.
Then we have James 2 and 5. If you write that down, talks about we can be rich in faith. Come on, rich in faith. Somebody shout, I'm rich in my faith. Come on, it says, has not God chosen? Come on, who has God chosen? Those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom that he has promised those who love him. We have to be careful because this text warns us against favoritism. Come on, the one who looks like he has nothing, come on, at all, could be the one that's full of faith when compared to the one who looked like he has it all. So what am I saying? Don't let the no-name brand shoes and dress fool you where you might sit me over in the corner, but the man who walk in, come on, with the Rolex and the designer suit, come on, and the Stacey Adams shoes, come on, you offer him the best seat in the house, but when it come down to the faith, come on, I might not have a name brand, but I may have more faith than the one that walks in, come on, that has no faith at all.
Watch this. Look at somebody asking, what you wearing?
What you wearing? Come on.
Amen. Look at him and tell him, I got on Jesus.
Come on.
I got on Jesus.
I got on Jesus.
Christ, baby.
I got
you
on Jesus.
You can't get no more valuable than this.
I got
look
on
look
Jesus
at somebody
shoes.
And show them what you wearing.
I got on Jesus. He arranged Jesus.
I wear
jewelry.
Jesus.
I wear him.
Uh-huh.
And I'm rich because of that, baby. Because
uh-huh.
of that.
Uh-huh.
I'm rich in my faith.
Go ahead. Look at this.
Come on. Let them talk about you all that they please. Come on.
Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith is impossible.
Impossible.
Romans 4, 19 through 21 talks about weak and strong faith. Look at these values that we're talking about. It's talking about being not weak in faith.
Mm-hmm.
It says Abraham staggered not at the problem, but he was strong in faith.
Strong in
you
faith.
You got to understand there's a measure of faith. If you're weak in faith, you can't be strong.
Right.
It being not weak in faith, he was strong, and he gave God glory. Matthew 14:31. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Look at these measures. At some point in life, we dealt with every last one of these measures of faith.
Yes.
If we look at it, PV Acts 6:5, he talks about being full of faith.
Full of faith.
Look at that one. And then
we've got perfect faith.
Perfect faith.
Write down, perfect faith is also known as complete faith. Amen. And so what makes our faith perfect or complete? This is when we look at I believe it's Abraham. Amen. Where it says, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did? Come on. When he offered his son Isaac at the altar. And then we look at James 2:22. It says, do you see through Abraham? Come on. That faith was working together with his works. And by works, faith was made perfect. So like PC said, we can believe all day long, but somebody say, I have to get up and do something. We've got to mix our faith with the works in order to have perfect or complete faith. Amen. Amen. And I love verse 26 of that same James passage. It says, just as the body, come on, without the spirit is dead, so is faith without work is dead. Amen. Then we look at being full of faith. Did we go there? We didn't do that one yet. In order to be full of faith, okay, I'm going to give you a scripture that will justify. In order to be full of faith, we must be full of the Holy Spirit of God. They work together. To be full of faith, we have to be full of the Holy Spirit. Come on. The Holy Spirit doesn't lie, does it? Does he? The Holy Spirit doesn't lie. So when we are full of faith, we're not lying and we don't lie. What's right is right and what's wrong is wrong in the eyes of a person full of faith.
Hallelujah.
See, and guess what? Let me hit on this. When we're full of faith, we must be ready for persecution and opposition to arise. Yeah, because right is wrong and wrong is wrong. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And everybody can't handle a person full of faith. Come on, y'all. We don't shuck and jive. We don't sugarcoat. We don't put the icing on the cake. We just tell it like it is. The word is the word. Right is right. And wrong is, somebody shout, wrong.
Wrong.
So when you begin to look at Stephen, it references him as being full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And he performed great wonders and signs among the people, but opposition arose by the members of the synagogue.
That's right.
They began to argue with Stephen, but they couldn't stand up against the wisdom. Come on, the faith that he had. When people can't come up against the wisdom and the faith that you're walking in, how many of you know they'll start talking about you behind your back? When they can't comprehend the wisdom and the faith you have of how you're going to accomplish a thing, they start talking about you with other people behind your back. He really think or she really think. And so long story made short, when Stephen pleaded his case, come on, when you're full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, you're not afraid to justify your cause. You're not afraid to proclaim what the word of God has said. Now, everybody's not going to like it. Am I right about it? But you're not afraid to justify the word of God, because you're not even afraid of death. Because you know to be absent from in the body is to be present with the Lord. So when you're full of faith, come on, you're not afraid to go over the edge. Because if something happened to me, guess what? To be absent in the earth realm just means I'm going to be sitting on the throne with the Father.
Amen.
And so even when you look at it, you know, they stoned Joseph to death. They did. But it says in the scripture, it says that Stephen proclaimed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. What's that saying is, when you're full of faith, come on, you don't hold other people's sin against them, even when they're sinning against you. Mm-hmm. Because you're just so full of faith like Stephen was. Amen.
Amen. You don't get to that place overnight, though. We won't sell you a bill of goods and say that you get to strong faith
overnight.
Or full of faith overnight. God takes you through a process of enduring.
Yes.
And as you go through the process of enduring, he brings you to the point that you can stand personal persecution.
Yes.
You see, when you can get to the point that you can stand personal persecution, it doesn't matter who talk about
That's
you
right.
because all they're doing is pushing you closer, or they're propelling you towards your destination.
That's it.
Their talking is an indicator that you're getting closer to what it is that
and
God
closer.
Has spoken in your life.
Yes.
When somebody come against your confession and your declaration, who you think you are talking about? You're going to live there, you're going to drive that. And didn't you see they just riding the bus?
Mm-hmm.
A man, they were homeless last week under a bridge. But I would
surmise to you that most homeless people got more faith than most wealthy people.
That's it.
Most homeless people, they wake up just like the birds. They know somebody is going to give me something.
Somebody.
And I'm
going to
get a meal somewhere. They don't worry about where I'm going to be working at in the morning or how I'm gonna, what I'm going to put on. They get up and they say, the soup line is going to be down here on 32nd Street. So all I got to do is get to the soup line. They get up. They say, hey, if I can get this bus back to this church, they're going to have a port tonight. And I can get in there and sleep on a mat. They're going to give me something to eat. And all I got to do is get up.
Yep.
They're going to give me breakfast. And all I got to do is walk out there. And if I ask enough of the right people, I can make more than you in one day, because I got faith that if I ask whatever I ask for, they give it to me. And when they give it to me, I don't spend because of what I make. I spend my faith.
Come on.
I spend my faith. It ain't that I like being homeless, but homelessness is not who I am.
Yes.
My circumstance don't determine my value.
Right.
My value is not in my living condition or whether I'm homeless. And so they don't feel that way when they first get out there. But when you meet them after a year or two, man, their homeless condition is just like your housing condition. They walk through that thing by faith.
Wow.
You walk out there looking down on them. They walk out there looking down on you.
So
like, man, how you pay that much every month?
So we need to be talking to the homeless man about, man, how did you get this kind of faith? Write down overcoming faith. 1 John 5:4. It says, for whatever or whoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our victory is in our faith. And verse 5 says, who is it that overcomes the world? Here's the answer. Only the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. How many of you have overcome in faith in the house today? Because you believe in the Son of the living God. Amen.
Amen. Let's do this. 8 minutes. Let's do this and close. Too many times we put our faith in the wrong thing.
Amen.
Too many times we put our faith in the wrong things. And so when you put your faith in the wrong thing, you will always get the wrong result. You will always
That's
get
right.
the wrong result. And so we're going to close this thing on the value of faith, talking about the object of faith. The object of faith is the source of faith. Look
the
at somebody
source.
And say, where is your faith
where
coming from?
Where is your faith coming from?
Where is it that you get your faith? Or where have you plugged your faith meter into?
Mm-hmm.
You understand, if you plug into the wrong thing, if I get a charger for my laptop and it's not the right charger, it'll give a signal on the computer screen that said this charger is not sufficient or compatible, and so your battery may not charge at the right capacity.
Right.
Many of us are plugging in to the wrong source. Many of us are plugging into people. We're plugging into things. We're plugging into places. But look at somebody and say, what is the object of your faith?
What is the object of your faith?
What is the object of your faith? When we talk about the object, the object of faith, we say it dictates the real value of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so faith is a measurable spiritual quality, but it has to be attached to the right thing. Faith is always attached to something.
Yes, it is.
Faith is always attached to something. Faith that's not attached to something is not faith. If it's not attached to something. So faith has to have an object. Look at somebody again and say, what is the object of your faith?
What is the object of
the
your
faith? The object
of
your faith makes a difference in how much faith you have or how your faith is going to work. And so this morning, when we look at the object of faith, Pastor Vicky, you're going to deal with faith in man.
Yeah, sometimes we have faith in man alone. Make sure you write down man alone, because Pastor Charlie said
we make alone all one.
All one.
That's the breakdown of alone meaning
Pastor
all one.
Pastor C and I, we are not Jesus. We represent, come on, the Jesus that we serve, but we are not Jesus. So your faith cannot be in us alone. Though God speaks to us and through us, you're able to receive the word of faith that we release from the pulpit. But what happens when we have faith in man alone is that it yields disappointment and frustration.
Huh.
Write that
down. You gotta write that down. What it yields.
Faith in man alone yields frustration and disappointment.
Catch these formulas that we're giving you.
And that's why people you see will leave the church. Did I say that?
Yeah, you said it.
They're not leaving the church because they're frustrated and disappointed in God. They are leaving because they're frustrated and disappointed
in
the man alone that they put their faith in, who let them down.
Can't put your trust in man.
That's why you have to be careful and reference this scripture that I have as Hebrews 13:7, because it says, remember your leaders, watch this, who spoke the word of God to you. What do you put your stock in? It says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Make sure you memorize that scripture. If you're going to imitate anything you see through Pastor Charlie, myself, come on, the entrepreneurship of the kids, the vision of this house, come on, the manifestation of what we see before us, embrace our faith and imitate that so that you can watch this, walk in the same thing we're walking in and go the same place that our faith has taken us.
Amen.
It's in the word. It's in consider the outcome. You need to know what we have been believing God for, so when you see the final results, my God, you can say they had faith for that, and you can imitate the faith that we have. When you look at putting your faith in yourself alone, write that down.
Number two.
Faith in yourself alone. Come on, I got this. I got this. I don't need anybody. I know exactly what to do. I know where I'm going. I know how to get there. Come on. What it yields, what it breeds, is pride and arrogance.
And oh, God is sick of pride and arrogance with people that name his name. Let me say this to the big shot pastor, the big shot apostle, the big shot evangelist, the big shot member.
Big shots.
God is sick of you being the big dog on the block when you're supposed to be representing him, and you need to humble yourself and get back under his mighty hand,
yes,
that
Jesus.
He can be the image that people see, and not your plane, not your car. Let me talk to you, LA pastors. You don't need to boast your image to people around the globe and get on TV, because it's not your image that they're after. It's the image of Christ.
God, yes.
And now you need to stop watching that mess. You need to stop watching that junk and perpetuating that nonsense in the body of Christ. And then talking about, have you seen LA preachers? Have you seen preachers' wives? I don't want to see preachers' wives. I got one.
Elder Mary, stop it.
Well, go ahead, baby. Self alone.
Amen.
That's right. What you see in that garbage. Faith and self alone. Let me show you what I got. But ain't none of them put no blueprint up and say, this how I got it.
This how I got it. I laid on my face. Come on. I spoke in my heavenly language. I broke down the barriers that were coming up against me. Come on, I had a one-on-one encounter with the true and the living God. None of that is before us, but that is the faith, come on, that calls us to ascertain what we have today.
But look at this, baby. That's why they call it reality TV, but we don't live in reality. We live in the arena of faith.
We live
and they try
faith.
To bring you to a lower dimension
a lower.
Of living, and you better get out of reality and get in faith, baby.
Get in faith. Get in faith. Hallelujah.
Well, go ahead, baby. We got to get out of this.
Write down Isaiah 14, because you know that's when Satan came with the many eyes. You know, five too many eyes. Amen.
Uh-huh.
But also write down Proverbs 16 and 18, because pride goes before destruction. Yeah. Yeah. So anytime you see the pride in a person, prepare for a downfall. Prepare for a destruction. It says a haughty, in other words, an arrogant, conceited, prideful spirit goes before a fall. So we have to stay humble in the things of God. Faith in the enemy alone. Mm-hmm. It yields fear and doubt. Oh, yeah, God is speaking. I know he is. We know he is, because he's a speaking God. He's been speaking since Genesis 1 and 1, and he's speaking today on August the 25th, 2013. And when he speaks, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that the next voice you're going to hear is going to be the voice of the enemy to come and breed, come on, fear and doubt in your spirit. Oh, yeah, you heal. Well, what if? What if you're not? What if it come back this, that, and another? Doubt and fear. Eve knew what God said in Genesis. Come on, but she still put her stock or her faith in the voice of the enemy, come on, and calls her to doubt what the voice of God spoke. Write down Genesis 2 and 17. He says you can eat from every tree. Come on. Come on. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Is there any question about that instruction from God?
None.
You will surely die. But then write down Genesis 3 and 4. When you put your faith in the enemy alone, the serpent said to the woman, Genesis 3 and 4, make sure you write it down. The enemy says to the woman, you will not surely die.
Hold
doubt
on,
and
hold
fear.
On, hold on, hold on. So the enemy always says the opposite of what God says, but he says it just like God said it.
Surely you will not die. And the, yeah, And the end result? Not only did Eve get cast out the garden, but everything and everybody connected to Eve was driven out of the garden. Remember, the garden had the four streams, come on, that were designed to meet and supply all of Adam and Eve's needs. Come on, y'all. It was separated by four rivers. Those are the four streams of income. Come on, that we are supposed to be walking in where it's free-flowing currency. That's why money is called currency, because of the four rivers, come on, that produced a current. God said everything you need is going to be between these four rivers, the north, the south, the everything you need going to come from the east and the west. Come on, all four directions of the earth will provide what you need. And so these four streams were supposed to meet all their needs, and they got kicked out of the garden because Eve put her faith in the enemy's voice alone and walked out on it and believed it. And so she ate of that tree.
Look at this. If whatever the problem is costing you sleep and unrest, then you have to go back and check your faith. If it's causing you sleep and unrest and you're waking up and can't sleep and you know it's not the Lord touching you, but it's the problem that keeps getting you up.
Yes.
And it's wrestling with you and messing with you, and you're supposed to be at rest.
Yes.
And this thing have you at unrest.
Unrest.
Then you got to go back and check your faith.
Yes.
And to see how much faith do I have in this situation. But even if you don't have faith in that situation yet, you got to find somebody that does.
Yes.
You got to connect with somebody that does have overcoming faith already in the arena. But most of us have been sold a bill of good, and so you got to walk through life by yourself.
Yes, I got
you. Got to live life alone, and then the enemy starts talking to you and telling you, don't nobody see you, don't nobody care. You go to that church, and you in there all by yourself. Look at them. They talk to everybody else, but ain't nobody said nothing to you this morning. Ain't nobody said, good morning, how you doing? Ain't nobody asked you how you were feeling. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody said, hey, what's going on in your life? What's good? And the enemy gets you in your car right out of a faith-filled experience with the word, and will put you in your car and say, I don't even know why you go down there. You wasted your time. You could have just stayed in your house, because they didn't even acknowledge you. The pastor didn't even say, how you doing? He's supposed to be your overseer. He don't see your mess and what you're going through and all of this on you. He sees it, but he ain't looking for your problem. He's looking for your faith to overcome the problem.
Yes.
And if he don't see faith, he don't see you.
He don't see you. Wow.
Your problem can hide you from the man and woman of faith, and you can be camouflaged in the middle of a room filled with other people. But then your faith can magnify you and make you stand out in the same room, and you can be going through more than everybody in that room, but your faith shows you as an overcomer.
Faith stands out.
Huh. Look at this.
That's
we got to go.
Good.
We got to go. Faith in God alone. We got faith in faith in, look at this, faith in man alone yields disappointment and frustration. Faith in self alone yields pride and arrogance.
That's right.
Man, that thing is nasty.
Yes.
We selling too many, we selling too much snake oil and poison in the church, calling it the word.
Wow.
We're selling too much snake oil and poison in the church, calling it the word. And it's to build up our own arrogance and pride. I posted on Facebook yesterday, if you're in it for what you can get, you're in it for the wrong reason. You got to do this thing, man, because God called you to do this thing.
Yes.
If you're doing it for the paycheck on the 1st and the 15th, if you're doing it for the love offerings, if you're doing it for all of those things, you in the wrong business, baby.
Yes.
You're supposed to be a salesman over at Lowe's. Working off a commission, not in the pulpit, baby. God is responsible
Jesus.
For this.
Yes.
God is responsible for this assignment. So faith in self alone.
Oh,
I got to be the best. I got to do the best. I got to say it the right way.
Yes.
I got to have the most people walking with me so I can tell you we got 10,000, Doc. 10,000 on snake oil. It's not worth one on the spirit.
It's not worth one in the spirit. Surely.
Faith in the enemy alone. You got to stop listening to that voice. It costs you something. And then you talk about faith in finances alone.
Yes.
A lot of us are stuck in this place, faith in finances alone. Yes. We live our life off of whether we got a paycheck or don't have one.
Come on.
We our joy is predicated on whether we got money or don't have money. Am I talking to anybody in this room? We build our whole life around a weakened, changing, unstable economy.
Yes.
And we're supposed to be people of faith that trust in God, who has the name Jehovah Jireh. He ain't Jehovah Jireh. Your job is.
Yes. Yes.
Because when they give you the slip, you don't say, it don't matter, Jehovah Jireh gonna meet all of my needs. You walk out of there, oh my God, what I'm gonna do? I don't know how I'm gonna make it. I don't know what we're gonna do. I got this, this, and this.
Yes.
What we gonna do? Get up out of that thing and get up off.
Yes.
Faith in finances alone yields money as your source.
Yes.
Yields money as your source. And Matthew 6, 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate one
and love the other,
or else he will hold up one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a spirit.
Yes.
Mammon is the name of a spirit.
Yes.
Mammon is a god by himself.
Yes.
And that's why he tries to control you through the money that's in your pocket
mm-hmm.
or the lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Mammon is after the same thing that God is after.
Mm-hmm.
Don't nobody want to talk on that.
That's good.
Go move on past that one
yes.
because all of us have had to deal with this money thing.
Yes.
Some of you working six jobs. I ain't even Jamaican. Working six jobs. If you're going after money more than you're going after God, then money has become your God.
Yeah. And that's where the God robbers come in. We'll just drop that commercial.
If you're going
break.
After money more we than you're going after God,
we have to hold on to
money
all of our money, even if it means being disobedient to the 10% that don't even belong to us. We keep ours and we keep God's and expect to be blessed.
Look at this. Let me tell a truth. The record came in this week and said it was over 500 and some members of this church, but it only said 183 are tithers. Boy, we just went Presbyterian.
Wow. Faith and finances alone.
Boy, we just went Presbyterian. The record said 580 some members of this church that's active. And it says 180-something tithers. And we confess every week that we are 100% tithe givers. But here's the next statement. Whose report will you believe?
Mm-hmm.
I believe the report of the Lord. And I still say we are 100% tithe givers. I still say it until I see it.
Yes.
We are 100% tithe givers. All of us are not there yet. But every week when we get one more than we had last week, we're getting closer to that goal, baby.
Yes.
We're getting closer to that goal. And so I'm not moved by the 180-something. I'm moved next time they send a report. If it says 187 this week, it's going to be 188 the next time. Amen. And
yes.
we're moving closer to the goal.
Yes.
Look at somebody say, we're getting closer.
Getting closer.
And then the last thing we got to say to you, and we move you out of here, it's almost 11 o'clock, 10:57.
All right.
Faith in God alone.
Come on.
This has to be the object of your faith.
Yes, Lord.
As believers, if God is not the object of your faith, there's no need for you to have faith. This is what
yes.
we call the God kind of faith.
Yes.
You see, there are other kind of faith. There's selfish faith. There's money-led faith.
Mm-hmm.
But man, there's nothing that beats the God kind of faith. Look at somebody and say, the God kind of faith.
The God kind faith of faith.
Faith in God alone. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, have faith in God. You see this, Mark 11, 22 through 24, write this down. It says, and Jesus saith unto them, have faith in God. Look at somebody and say, have faith in God.
Have faith in God.
You can't have faith in God if you don't know God.
That's it.
You can't have faith in God if you don't believe what the Word of God says about God. You can't have faith in God if the only God you know is your mama's God. You can't have faith in God if you're a nominal Christian and you're a Christian just because you live in America.
Mm.
You can't have faith in God until you have an experience with God.
Mm.
And many of us have not had experiences with God, and so we have no faith in God. But this text says, have faith in God. It says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, I want you to look at that mountain in your life,
mm-hmm.
and say, be thou removed and cast into
yes.
the sea. And shall not doubt in his heart. I don't care what you say out of your mouth. He looks at what's in your heart.
In the heart.
And if
yes.
you say that thing and then your heart Believe. Agrees with what you say out of your mouth. And say, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And shall not doubt in his heart. But shall believe those things which he saith.
Yes.
He shall saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever He saith.
He saith.
Look at this. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe. All of us know how to pray. But do you believe what you pray? Do you believe that you have what you pray when you prayed it?
You pray.
Do you believe that it's already manifested at the moment that you open your mouth and said that you already got it? Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things
shall be added
unto you. Stand on your feet with
us.
Yes,
Jesus.
Hebrews 10:35 says this, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. We talk about the value of faith.
Yes.
We talk about the object of faith. Wait till I hear a song. I don't even know if we know it. I don't even know if it's a song and there's just something in it. Something, I come to the cross of the garden alone. That's a song. Mm. I come to the garden alone. I hear this in my spirit.
Jesus.
The question is, who is the object of your faith?
Yes.
Do you need a greater measure of faith? Have you lost your faith? And does your faith still work?
Yes.
Evaluating that question, any one of those questions, and you stand in the place that you need to come back to the garden.
Yes, Jesus.
Eve was kicked out. Adam was kicked out. Yes. Satan was kicked out.
Yes.
But Jesus came that we could come to the garden alone. Jesus came, and before he left, he came back to the garden.
Yes, he did.
Adam was in the Garden of Eden. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He divinely reversed everything that Adam messed up. He came back to the garden that he could make it right.
Jesus.
He was in the garden alone because his disciples couldn't stay awake with him. And he says, if I got to do it by myself, let me pray. There are some of you that need to come back to the garden. And I want to open this altar. Pastor Vicky, and I want to say, you can return to the garden.